Revelation chapter 11, we're moving through. This morning we'd like to draw your attention to the 15th verse of chapter 11, verse 15, as John tells us of the events that transpire when the seventh trumpet begins to sound. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Messiah, and he shall reign forever and ever." The Bible is filled with prophecies that speak of the glorious day of the Lord when God will establish his kingdom upon the earth, and when the Messiah shall come to rule and to reign over the earth. Now, these prophecies concerning the glorious reign of the Messiah became a real problem for the Jews as far as acknowledging Jesus as the Messiah. Now, to be sure, there were many prophecies also that spoke of the Messiah being despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, bruised for our transgressions, wounded, put to death. And thus, it was a real mental enigma for the Jews, this seeming contradiction of prophecies in regards to the Messiah. How can he reign and rule forever if he is to be despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief? And so they accepted only the prophecies that dealt with the wonderful reign of the Messiah over the earth. They had a tendency to sort of spiritualize the other prophecies and make them relate to the nation of Israel and the suffering that it has endured from the world. And they did not see that these were prophecies of the Messiah. But of course, now we understand. We can see that both of the prophecies are correct. The prophecies of his being despised and rejected by the leaders, and yet being made the head of the cornerstone. For we see it in his first coming, but also the rest of them fulfilled in his second coming, and we see the two comings of the Messiah, and that immediately takes away the mystery of the seeming conflicting prophecies concerning the Messiah. But the prophecies of the glorious reign of the Messiah, they began way back in the book of Genesis. When Jacob was an old man, when he was on his deathbed, when he realized that he would soon be dying, his life was ebbing away. He called his 12 sons to stand around his bed. And as they stood there, with every ounce of strength, he sat up, put his feet over the edge of the bed, and he looked around at his boys, beginning with Reuben the eldest, and he began to prophesy over their future. And the prophecies of his sons are very interesting. As you follow subsequent history, you find that they were very, very accurate in his assessment and in his prophecies concerning their future. But when he got around to Judah, and that old bony finger pointed at Judah, he said, "Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. and your father's children shall bow down before thee. And the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the lawgiver from between his feet, until the Messiah comes, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. So he promised that Judah would be the ruling tribe, and that the scepter would not depart from Judah until the Messiah came. An interesting event historically that transpired over this particular prophecy, and that is when Jesus was just a boy growing up in Nazareth. The Roman government took from the Jews the power of capital punishment. They interpreted that as the scepter departing from Judah. Their power and authority was taken by the Roman government. That, of course, is the reason why when they wanted the death sentence to be pronounced upon Jesus, they had to bring him to Pilate in order to get the death sentence pronounced upon him. When they lost the power of capital punishment, history tells us that there was a procession, sort of a demonstration in Jerusalem, where many of them paraded through the streets with ashes on their head, dressed in sackcloth. They were in mourning because they felt the promises of God had not been fulfilled. And it was just a great hurt to them that the word of God had failed, and they were demonstrating and weeping over the failure of the promises of God to be kept. For they said, the scepter has departed from Judah and Shiloh has not come, or the Messiah has not come. Little did they know that growing up in Nazareth at that very time was the Messiah. He had come. He had not just revealed himself yet to the people as the Messiah. Moses prophesied in Exodus concerning the coming kingdom. He said, and the Lord shall reign forever and ever. The Lord promised to David that when his days would be fulfilled, that he would sleep with his fathers, and that God would set up his seed after him, which shall proceed from your bowels, and I will establish his kingdom, referring to the Messiah who would be the seed of David. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before thee, and your throne shall be established forever. The Psalms are filled with the decrees of the Lord concerning the coming Messiah and the universality of his reign. David said in Psalm 2, I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said to me, you are my son, this day I have begotten thee. Ask of me, I'll give you the heathen for thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Psalm 22, all of the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and the families of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. In Psalm 67, O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations that are upon the earth. And as we read in Psalm 72 already, he shall have dominion from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the earth. Yea, all the kings shall fall down before him, and all nations shall serve him. Then in Psalm 82, arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. Psalm 86, all nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. Psalm 145, and they shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, for thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. Psalm 146, the Lord shall reign forever. Even thy God, O Zion, unto the generations, praise ye the Lord. Isaiah, prophesying of the coming Messiah, said, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, to order it and to establish it in righteousness and in judgment, from henceforth even forever. For the zeal of the Lord of hosts hath performed this. And then Isaiah 45, I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and it shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. When Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king, the first world-dominating dictator, he had conquered the world of his day. And in his conquest, Jerusalem was taken. It fell to Babylon. And he took with him some of the young princes back to Babylon that they might be trained in his schools, that they might be advisors to him on the issues that dealt with the nation of Israel. Among those captives that were taken back was Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar, one night before he went to sleep, was wondering what's going to happen to my kingdom. After I die, what's going to take place? What's going to happen to the world? And so the Lord gave to him a dream, in which the Lord showed to him the future of his kingdom and the kingdoms that would follow and the future of the world on out to the end. The dream, however, though, was in symbolism. He didn't understand it. And so he sought to get someone to interpret the dream, and in time, Daniel was brought in to interpret for him both the dream and the interpretation, because the problem was he couldn't remember the dream. And so when Daniel came in, he reminded him that before he went to sleep, he was wondering about the future of his kingdom and the end of the world. And Daniel said, the God who dwells in heaven has given to you a dream by which he has shown you the future. For in your dream, he said, you saw this great image. It had a head of gold, it had a chest of silver, stomach of brass, legs of iron, with feet of iron and clay. And you watched this great image, or you were looking at it steadfastly, and there came a stone, not cut with hands, and it hit in the feet of the great image, so that the great image crumbled and the stone began to grow until it was a mountain that covered the entire earth. And Daniel, as he then told him what the dream meant, was that God showed him the kingdoms that would rule over the earth, beginning with the Babylonian kingdom, which was to be replaced by the Medo-Persian kingdom, which was to be replaced by the Grecian kingdom that would be crushed by the Roman kingdom. And the final world-dominating power would be a federation of European nations that were associated and a part of the Roman kingdom. And during the time of the reign of these kings that have federated together in Europe, the Lord of heaven shall come, the stone that was not cut with hands, and he shall establish a kingdom that will cover the earth, and of his kingdom, there will be no end. And so Daniel said, for as much as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and it broke in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation is sure. Up to this point, up to this very hour, the dream has been certain and the interpretation sure. As you look at history, you can see down the line how the one kingdom followed the other until the present time. We see Europe joining together, creating the United States of Europe, the revival of the Roman Empire, and it is during the time of those kings that the Lord of heaven will come and establish a kingdom that will never end. Daniel later had his own vision that dealt with the same four kingdoms that would govern the earth. The one following the other, beginning with the Babylonian, moving to the Medo-Persian, to the Grecian, finally to the Roman, and finally to the federation of nations that would make again the Roman Empire. And he said, I beheld until the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool, and his throne was like a fiery flame, and a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him, and thousand thousands or a million ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 or 100 million stood before him, and the judgment was set and the books were open. And I beheld, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, and that is the Antichrist, I beheld even until the Antichrist was slain, his body destroyed and given to the burning fire. He is the one that will rule over the European Empire. And as concerning the rest of the kingdoms, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man. He came with the clouds of heaven. And he came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Jesus, in referring to his coming again and establishing God's kingdom, said immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all of the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit on the throne of his glory, and before him will be gathered all of the nations, and he will separate them one from another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And to those on his right hand, he will say, come, ye blessed of the Father, inherit the kingdom that was prepared for you from the foundations of the world. And to those on his left, he will say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, unto the place that was prepared for Satan and his angels. Paul the Apostle, writing again of the coming kingdom, said, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Speaking of Jesus and his emptying of himself to die on the cross and of the exaltation that followed, he said concerning Jesus, who was in the form of God and thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation. He took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God has also highly exalted him. He's given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So as we look at the various passages and prophecies concerning the coming kingdom, we first of all realize that it will be a universal kingdom. Ask of me, the Father said, I'll give you the heathen for thine inheritance, the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Universal reign, because he will be a king over kings, a lord over lords. And every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. The stone that came out of the mountain that Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream grew into a mountain that covered the earth. We realize that it will be a righteous kingdom. Psalm 9:8 said he will judge the world in righteousness. He will minister judgment to the people in uprightness. Psalm 96, say among the heathen that the Lord reigns. The world also shall be established that it shall not be moved. And he will judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all of the trees of the wood rejoice, for the Lord, he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. Isaiah prophesied of the coming Messiah. There will come a rod out of the stem of Jesse, a branch will grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord will be upon him, the Spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel, and might, the Spirit of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. He'll make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he will not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity the meek of the earth, and shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Paul said, because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained, whereof he has given assurance unto all men that he hath raised him from the dead. We realize that during the reign, not only will it be universal, not only will it be a reign of righteousness, but also it will be a time of peace upon the earth. Isaiah said, and he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, and they will study war no more. For the kingdom of God, Paul said, is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Isaiah tells us that in those days, the wolf will dwell with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear will feed, and their young ones will lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox. Not only peace among men, but peace in the animal kingdom. The lion will no longer be carnivorous, but will eat hay like the ox. They'll lie down together, and a little child shall lead them. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all the holy mountains, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In his kingdom, all of the wrongs will be made right, and there will be no physical handicaps. Again, Isaiah wrote, "Then the eyes of the blind will be opened, the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a deer, and the tongue of the mute will sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert." And finally, his kingdom is forever, as we read here in our text, "And he shall reign forever and ever." Now, how can you become a part of that kingdom? One night, a Pharisee named Nicodemus came to Jesus, and he said, "Master, we know that you must have come from God, because no man can do the things that you do unless God is with him." And Jesus answered him and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus was troubled at this statement. But Jesus said, "I'll tell you the truth. Except a man is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Entering the kingdom of God is by birth, but not the natural birth. Jesus said, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh." There has to be a second birth, a spiritual birth. He said, "Marvel not that I said to you, Nicodemus, you must be born again." You see, you had no choice in your first birth. Just one day, you were born. You didn't have any say-so as to the time or even to the fact that you were born. Here you are. You just came along, and there was no choice at all involved. However, in the second birth, choice is absolutely necessary. You choose to be born the second time, and you have to choose to be born the second time. Choice is an absolute essential. Because your parents may have been Christians, it doesn't follow that you are a Christian. Because your parents had you baptized when you were an infant, doesn't mean that you were born again. Born again is something that happens by your own choice and your own will, not the will of others. As Paul said, he could actually pray and he wished that all of Israel would be saved, but such was not the case. His wishing for that could not make it a reality. It has to come by a person's own personal deliberate choice. God said to the nation of Israel, "I have set before you life and death. Choose life." God has set before you today life and death, but it is your choice. You've been born once, no choice. But to be born twice takes the choice. Nicodemus, confused by this, said, "How can I be born again when I'm old? It's impossible for me to enter again into my mother's womb and to be born a second time. What are you talking about?" And Jesus, in answer to that question, said, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Going back to the incident, the people had murmured against God. God sent these little poisonous snakes in, and the people were being bitten and dying. And The people cried unto Moses. Moses cried unto the Lord. And the Lord told Moses to make a serpent of brass. Put it on a pole in the middle of the camp. And he said, it shall come to pass that when a person is bitten by one of these snakes, if he will look at that brass serpent on the pole in the middle of the camp, he'll not die. He'll be healed. Now you see, choice is involved. So Moses lifted up the serpent on the pole, made the serpent of brass, put it on the pole, and it came to pass whoever was bitten by one of these poisonous snakes, when they would look at that serpent on the pole, they would be healed. You say, well, that doesn't make sense. No. Well, I don't understand that. No. But if you look at it, you won't die. You don't have to understand it. Just look at it and you won't. Well, I can't believe something I don't understand. Well, die. But I don't like it being of brass. Why couldn't it be of gold? You know, it's like a person who is drowning and you throw them a life preserver and they say, that's orange. I'm that doesn't match what I'm wearing. Forget it, you know. Well, drown, idiot, you know. It's, you can't write the rules. The rules have been written. It's for you to follow the rules. That whosoever believes in him, you see, that's choice. You choose to believe that he is the Son of God, the Savior of the world, or you choose not to believe. But it's your choice. As God said, I've set before you life and death. It's your choice. Choose life that you might live, God said. To be a part of God's eternal kingdom takes choice. Whosoever believeth in him. As Jesus went on to say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. But it's your choice. The key is your believing in him, and by that, you are born again, the second birth, and that brings you entry into the kingdom. As Isaac Watts wrote, King of my life, I crown thee now. No, he didn't write that. Forget who wrote that one. Thine shall the glory be, lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow. Lead me to Calvary. Father, we look forward to the glorious reign of our Lord. And even as Daniel said, the dream is certain and the interpretation is positive. Lord, we know that you are going to come. You're going to establish your kingdom. And Lord, we thank you that we've been born again so that we will share in your eternal kingdom. By being sons of God, we've become heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. What a glorious, wonderful future for every child of God. And Lord, we pray for those today who have not made that choice that will bring them into your eternal kingdom, but have chosen death, have chosen the world over you. Those who love their sin more than they love eternal life and hold on to their sin. Lord, we pray that you will speak to them this day, that they might come into the life that you desire for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? The pastors are down here at the front to pray with you who would like to make that choice today. To be a part of the kingdom of God. Jesus said that he that believes on him was not condemned. But he who didn't believe, you see, your choice. If you choose not to believe in him, then you are already condemned since you haven't believed on the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, but men would not come to the light because they loved the darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. In other words, they loved their sin more than they loved eternal life. But that's choice, your choice. You choose to believe or you choose not to believe. And your choice has a dramatic impact upon your future. How you are going to live, the things that will transpire in this lifetime are affected tremendously by the choice that you make. But more than that, your eternal destiny is determined by the choice that you make. God said, I've set before you life or death. Choose life that you might live. And I pray that this day you'll make the right choice and that you will be born again by believing in Jesus and thus will share in the glorious, eternal kingdom of God that he shall establish, the kingdom of righteousness, of peace, of joy, of blessing. It's yours for the believing.